Good morning and praise the Lord. Shall we turn to one of the great chapters of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Most of us are very familiar with this great chapter on faith. Today we will look at the concluding part of this chapter because in my own understanding and study and meditation, sometimes I feel guilty that I have omitted the last part of this chapter, the first verses, the middle part, the great heroes of faith. That part, those parts are very, very famous and very familiar to us, but the Lord has some very precious truths inscribed in the very last part of this chapter also. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yet and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer again? Loving Father, as we have just now sung, the healing and grace our hearts yearn for, only you can heal, only you can give. We thank you for the ancient words given to us as the very holy word of God. As Prophet Jeremiah said, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and who has heard and perceived his word. May we stand in the counsel of God this morning and perceive and hear and obey thy holy word as we commit our time to you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, all of us are familiar with the great chapters in the New Testament, especially the three great chapters dealing with the three great Christian virtues. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians speak about love, the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 talk about another very important Christian virtue, that is hope. And Hebrews chapter 11 talk about faith, the other most important Christian virtue. So it is very important for us to study these great chapters of the Bible. Now, it is very helpful for us that we have chapters and divisions in the books of the Bible. But sometimes that hinders the flow and the argument of the book and the way the Holy Spirit has inspired the writers to write and to present the truth of God. To a great extent, it is helpful, but sometimes it hinders. For example, in chapter 11, in the book of Hebrews, it is a great chapter on faith. But the introduction to that chapter begins at the end of chapter 10. So when the original author wrote it, there was no chapter divisions or verses or paragraphs. It is just a smooth flow. And what the author is trying to tell the readers in chapter 10 is that it is very important for us that in the midst of trials, persecutions, doubts and confusion and all the problems of life as they were facing, it is very important that we keep moving forward, because Christian life is not static. It is dynamic. There are only two options. That is, you cannot stand still. Either you have to move forward or you will fall backward. That is why there are several warnings in the book. That is, if you do not press on in faith, in the midst of your trials and difficulties, persecutions, mockings and scourgings, and all the other problems the original readers were facing, the author is encouraged them to press on to maturity, move forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because Christian life should be dynamic. You cannot stand still. If you stand still, there is every possibility that you will fall backward. You cannot stand still. Either move forward or you will fall backward. You can't stand still. So in chapter 10, he reminds them about holding fast their confession of faith and encouraging one another and assembling together and encouraging one another in the faith and comforting one another, coming together into the assembly of God, and continue to do that more and more as the days are drawing near. Then, if we don't take God seriously, there are consequences to that. So there is another warning beginning in verse 26. Then that warning concludes with a word of exhortation and a word of encouragement. And the quotation is taken from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, beginning in verse 37 of chapter 10, that is the introduction to chapter 11. For at a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So, this verse from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 is quoted three times in the New Testament. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Three times it is quoted. That is, the just shall live by faith. People of the world may be very proud and arrogant, and they may depend upon many things. They may have hatred for God and contempt for God. And in the midst of such a fallen world, as Habakkuk originally wrote it, the Babylonians were very proud and they were persecuting the children of Judah. But the message of the prophet is that you continue in faith. The Lord will bring deliverance to you. The Lord will comfort you. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will bring great blessings to you. But during the time of sorrow and captivity, what shall you do? The just shall live by faith. The righteous one will follow the instructions of God and will be attuned to the will of God in the midst of all the trials of life. And that is the reminder again by the writer to the Hebrews, that the just shall live by faith. You follow my instructions, and you be faithful, and the Lord will take care of you. Then, chapter 11 is a commentary on that verse. That is, my just shall live by faith. So that is the thesis. That is the main major topic. That is the foundation of the argument. Then in chapter 11, the great chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and so many men and some women also are mentioned as heroes and heroines of great faith and what they accomplished. And the author is reminding the readers that we also can be victorious through faith. Because these men, they were just ordinary men. Have you ever thought that? We always say that these men, we call them heroes of faith. Who told you to call them heroes? You know, when we read and when we look at the accomplishments and the victories of faith, we feel that they were heroes. But look at the failures of their life, failures of the life of Abraham, failures of the life of David, failures of the life of Samson, failures of the life of Samuel, failures in the life of Moses. They are all great heroes of faith. And then we read of Sarah and about also Rahab the prostitute. How can we call them heroes and heroines of faith? They were men and women of failures and sins and lot of limitations and problems in their life. But what made them heroes of faith or heroines of faith is that when they failed, they did not abandon their faith. They were not completely defeated. They got up from the track where they fell and they started to run again, holding on to the promises of God. They confessed their sins. They were not perfect, but they believed God. And when the Lord said something, they wholeheartedly believed it, accepted it, and wanted to follow the instructions of God throughout their life. And that is why we consider them as heroes and heroines of faith. So there are 16 people, expressly 16 names are mentioned here, 14 men and 2 women. So after highlighting all of them, there are other names that comes to the mind of the author in verse 32. He is saying, from our history, from our Jewish history, I have so many other names which I can highlight through whom God accomplished great things. Ordinary people who believed in extraordinary God and accomplished extraordinary things just by believing the word of God. Let me repeat that. Ordinary people believing in an extraordinary God, accomplishing extraordinary things in their life by their simple obedience to the word of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That was their life motto. And so many, 16 names are already, appear in this book. Then another sampling of few other names from the history of Israel. Verse 32, what more shall I say? I have more things to say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You know, Gideon, another hero of faith, according to the author of Hebrews. We know about Gideon, Barak and Jephthah, all of Samson, all of them from the book of Judges. And they had, if you read their history, their biography in the word of God, all of them have miserable failings in their life. For example, Gideon, he wanted double sign from God. He was reluctant to believe in God initially. He wanted God to prove his power and his plan and the will of God in a very tangible way. And he said, I can have thousands of people with me. The Lord said, I don't need thousands of people. I only need 300. That's good enough. I will accomplish great things through them. Finally, he yielded to God's plan and purpose. Barak wanted to go to war, but he was so timid and afraid. And he wanted the help of a woman, Deborah, to go with him. That is the story of Barak. Samson. You know, in our Sunday school classes and all, we portray Samson as a very bad guy. Don't. He's like a playboy. Don't imitate him. That's what we teach our children. But look at what the author of Hebrews is saying, that Samson, in spite of all his failures and all the bad things that happened in life, why he is here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the heroes of faith. I believe there is a reason. There are a trail of, you know, miserable failures in his life. But at the end, what did he say? Lord, one more time. Give me that strength one more time. I trust in you. You have called me. You have separated me. I'm sorry for all my failures. I trust in you. You are the God of my fathers. You are the God who set me apart as a Nazarite boy. I trust in your word one more time. And the power of God, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And he killed more people in his death than in his life. So Samson is here. Jephthah made a foolish vow, but he believed God. Then we know about David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That is about Daniel, and probably a reference to also David. They fought with lions and escaped from the lions, killed lions, quenched the violence of fire. That is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword. How miraculously God delivered David and many of other servants of God. Out of their weakness, God's people were made strong. They became valiant in battle. Many of the kings who followed the Lord, trusted in the Lord. And they defeated the armies, and and the list goes on and goes on like that. But before that, the author has given more details about some of the great men of faith. For example, you know, in chapter 11, verse 7, if we, you know, just by way of illustration, I want to highlight two or three people. And the argument of this chapter continues from the very beginning of verse 1 till the end of it. That is, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Noah has not seen anything like a flood or rain. He has never seen a floating vessel. No prior example. He has never seen any of these things. There was nobody to encourage him. It was an age of total unbelief. But in verse 7 we read, he was being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, because against all improbability, against all probabilities, he believed that God told me this and he is able to do it. So he was moved and he started building in the ark. He did not ask how and why and where. How is this possible? He just believed what God said. Then as we move on in verse 8, we read about Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Sarah might have asked him anxiously, where are you going? Where are you taking me? We are packing up and going. And the answer is, I do not know. The Lord called me. The Lord told me to go, and I'm going. Sarah, come with me. We believe in God. We take God at his word. And we are moving. Nothing visible before him. Noah believed against all probability. And nothing visible before Abraham. Invisibility, improbability, invisibility. But they still believed. Then when we come to verse 11, by faith Sarah, herself also received strength to conceive. When God told them that they will have, you know, thousands and thousands of children like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky, there was no possibility. They were impotent in their age, not able to conceive or give birth to children. So they believed God in spite of impotency. So that is what the author is building up, in spite of improbability, in spite of invisibility, in spite of impotency. These men and women, they believed God. And the message to the Hebrew believers is, in the midst of your trials and temptations, difficulties, persecutions, believe God. He is faithful. He has proved that in our history, and He is going to prove that in your life also. One more example about Abraham, you know, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, of whom it was called, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up. Abraham readily took Isaac, and they went to do the sacrifice, and Abraham was almost ready to kill his son. We know what happened. Why did Abraham do that? Because he concluded that God was able to raise him up. See, he cannot look to any other example. He cannot say that, oh, one of the brother's sons in our assembly had died and God raised him up. Or, you know, in our community, God has done it several times. So this is not a big deal. No, there was no prior example. There is nothing like this. Abraham is not familiar with the great challenge he is facing. But against all impossibility, he believed God. God is able. He is good. He never commands evil, and I will trust in Him. God is wise, and He must have a good plan for me. God is just. He would not deal unfairly with me, His servant. God is powerful even to raise my son. God is reliable in His promises. So against, in the midst of improbability, invisibility, impotency, and impossibility, the author is saying, these people believe in God, to God at His word. So what is the message to us and also to his readers? You also, as you live in this world, in the midst of persecutions, trials, as you read the book of Hebrews, you know that they were going through a lot of problems and difficulties, and they were isolated and they were persecuted. But God will fulfill his plan and purpose for you. The great victories of faith can be yours too. And God will finally accomplish what he has promised in his word. So the great exploits of faith is not reserved to Abraham, Abel, Noah, or Sarah, or Moses, or Joshua. The victories of faith, the accomplishments of faith, the exploits of faith, you don't have to be perfect. You trust in God. Take God at his word. That is the message of motivation and encouragement. Another interesting observation here in chapter 11, beginning in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life. That may be a reference to the widow of Zarephath and the woman of Shunem, who received back their dead son through the miraculous work of Elijah and Elisha. But in verse 36, there is a change in tone. He is not talking about two different subjects here. The subject, the topic is faith. But two different groups of people who had to endure the trials of life in different ways. See, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. In the earlier record, no mockings and no trials. It is all victory and celebration and accomplishments and wonderful victories in battles, resurrections. But we look at verse 36, still others, a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Anything wrong with these people compared with the other group? No. They were also men and women of faith. But God had a different plan for their life. God's plan for the first group of people was different. It was all victories and triumphs in their faith. But for this group of people, it is all tragedies from a world's perspective in their life. Because trials and mockings and chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two. It may be a reference to Isaiah. According to Jewish tradition, Isaiah was sawn in two by a sword. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. See, look at the contrast here. The earlier group, it was all dream for them. Joyful celebration. But here, it is all nightmare. To the first group, it was all triumph. To the second group, it is all tragedies. Same people of God, same word, same faith. But God's sovereign will and purpose for the life of some of them were different than the first group that are mentioned in the earlier part of the chapter. See, in verse 34, it's very interesting, you know. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. The Lord did not allow the sword to kill them or touch them. Marvelous deliverance. They escaped. But look at verse 37. Some were slain with the sword. Do you understand that? That's very difficult for us to understand. To one group, it is all accomplishment. It is all victories. It is all celebration. It is all triumphs. But to others, it is sorrow, it is tears, it is pain, it is pain, it is imprisonment, being slain with the sword. They became destitute and afflicted and tormented and tortured. They had to leave everything. There was nobody there to support them. They lost homes and family and inheritance and wealth, and they wandered. But God allowed that to happen in their life. See, again, it bothers me sometimes when I read it. Some people shut the mouths of lions. Others were mauled by lions. Some escaped the sword. Others were slain by the sword. Some were achievers, but others were sufferers. Some history here looks very impressive. But other history, in the life of these people, it looks that they are very much defeated. David was on the throne, but Elijah had to hide in a cave. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt, but Moses had to flee Egypt. Some people performed, some prophets, great miracles. John the Baptist, The greatest of all prophets did not perform a miracle. He was put in prison and he was beheaded. Same God, same people, people of God, same faith, same word, believing in God, in God's promises. But their life experiences were quite different. God's will, God's way, God's plan and God's purpose them for them were very, very different. That is something we have to really realize in our life, that the option God gives to us in our life is to submit to God's plan, God's will and God's purpose, believing in his word and knowing that he is able to see you through it. In the midst of all improbability, invisibility, impotency, and impossibility, God wants his people to trust in him always, submitting to God's plan and God's purpose. God's delays are not his denials. He knows better than us. He knows everything from beginning till the end. His plan is very wise, and trusting in that wise plan, he is a just and loving God. He would not deal unfairly with me, his child. God is so powerful that he is able to do anything he wants to do. Not that he must do, but he can do if he wills to do. And God wants us to submit to that. And always to be reliable, to know that our God is always reliable and trustworthy. What a wonderful truth. You know, in the beginning, all accomplishments, all victories, all great and wonderful things, but towards the conclusion, you know, it is very moving and it is a very different picture of faith. And the life of these heroes, and sometimes we find it very difficult to reconcile these two aspects of it. And that is what the author is encouraging them to. Don't be bewildered. Don't be confused. God is in control, and God's word is true for Abraham and Noah, and for you also, and trust in him. Now, in verse 38, we read, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony, see, in spite of all the problems, all of them obtained a good report from God, because they continued to cling on to God and to his promises. Remember Samson? One more time, Lord, at the very last minute of his life, there is a comeback. There was a second chance. There was a forgiveness. And he said, I want to cling on to you and to your power. And God accomplished great and wonderful things through him. So, of whom, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Yes, through faith, they obtained a good testimony. They did not receive the promise. What is that? They did not receive the promise because the messianic age and the messianic salvation and the promise of the Messiah, they only heard the promise. They were so distant, so far removed from the fulfillment of messianic salvation, messianic blessings, messianic age, the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But standing at a very distant place, in great distance, the author is saying, they believe. They did not have all the promises. They did not have the completed revelation of God. They did not see the fulfillment of it. They only clung on to the promises. But we, that is the message the writer is giving to them. You are living in the age of fulfillment. So the proximity to the promises of God, the enjoyment of all the promises, they were not able to see everything. It was cloudy for them. But for you, the grace of God has appeared. The word of God has come. The Holy Spirit is permanently indwelling you. You are in the brighter side of the sun. And you have better promises, more promises. You have more resources to enjoy, to understand, and to appreciate it compared with all these heroes and heroines of faith. So don't give up. Move forward. That is the message. You know, even though the Lord enlisted them, the Lord enrolled them. And we all are enrolled in the family of God by faith. But we have more privileges, more blessings, more proximity to the blessings and resources of God. Verse 39 and 40, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise of fulfillment, God having provided something better for us. They were great heroes and heroines of faith, but the writer is saying to the readers that God had prepared something better through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Messiah, his gift of salvation, and all the messianic blessings and promises that has come our way, so that they should not be made perfect apart from us. As though the Lord told them, oh, you, the Old Testament saints, you wait, I have another company coming, and they will enjoy it more, and they will get it more before you, so that we may be made, that they should not be made perfect in their hope, in their promises, apart from us. You know, in dispensationalism, we believe in the separation between Israel and the church, and rightly so. But at the same time, in God's redemptive plan and purpose, in the family of God, there is continuity also. The continuity is the redeemed of the Old Testament and the redeemed of the New Testament. They all are part of the family of God, and they all will enjoy together the messianic blessings in the kingdom of God when the Son of God comes back and establishes that kingdom. But today in our life, we are able to enjoy those promises and blessings in a better way, in closer proximity, in better light. So the message to them is, why are you discouraged? Why are you questioning? Why are you confused? Look at the great heroes and heroines of faith and how they wholeheartedly submitted to God's sovereign will, plan, and purpose, celebrated great victories and accomplishments in life. Even though some of them look tragic to us, they were also triumphs of faith. And then, again, no chapter division, nothing. It's continuing the word of final encouragement as a conclusion to his theme of living by faith, accomplishments of faith, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race, patience, endurance, that is what we read. And the race, what about the race? You are in a race, but the race is set before us. The Lord is the one who has set the race before us. The path you don't choose. Samson's path was very different from David's path. Abraham's path was very different from Joseph's path. That is why in the initial part of the chapter, the path was a path of accomplishment that was set before them by God. But my dear friend, in your life, God might have set a different path for you to run the race. The race that is set before you, you don't choose the path. God sets the path in his infinite wisdom and sovereign will. And my duty and your duty is to run the race in that course, a path that is set before us. And the example is Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who run the race in the course which God the Father set before him. And because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That is the example. The path for him was very, very difficult. Crucifixion, mocking, and death, and the shedding of blood. But in that path, there was joy that was divinely set before him, because he is going to win thousands and thousands of people as his children into the family of God. What a great plan, what a great majestic plan God has for us. And it is with this comprehensive understanding of God's plan and purpose that the Lord wants us to live every day of our life, so that we may not be defeated and discouraged. There is no prosperity theology here. The passage itself proves that. That is from the pit of hell, because there was no prosperity to the second group of people whom we read here. The path set before them was very, very different. This morning, let us say, Lord, I accept the path you have set before me, and you will be with me in that path, and you will give me the grace and the endurance to run that path, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And when I fail, when I fall, when I have doubt, encourage me with your word, give me the grace to trust in you and to have full confidence in you in the midst of all improbability, invisibility, impossibility, impotency. Lord, I cling on to your word. Help me to run the race. Let that be our prayer. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this amazing chapter that was written 2,000 plus years ago to encourage a group of Jewish Christians who were doubting, who were confused, and who were almost abandoning their faith, probably to go back to their old system of faith. What a wonderful exhortation, what great examples, what powerful words about the power of faith and how God blesses his people when they trust in him wholeheartedly. Father, we know that you are asking us this morning, compelling us, motivating us through the great example of chapter 11 and the first verses of chapter 12 to accept the course that is set before us, to trust in your promises, in your plan, in your purpose, in your providential care, in your will, and in the promises of God. Help each one of us in the various circumstances of life to wholeheartedly trust in you, that Satan may not exploit any situation in our life to weaken us and to bring more confusion and doubt, that we may run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Bless this word to each one of us this morning, as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.